All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming now live on YouTube as well, at least for right now. Hopefully we've gotten some video stuff figured out, and we'll see if we can keep it rolling throughout the show. We might have to bounce out on the internet side of it. But remember, this is why you listen to the radio show on the radio, or perhaps on the free Odyssey app. We are always there. And if you just love our beautiful faces, then I'm sorry. All right, Anthony, keys to the game. Steelers, Commanders. I think that the stat that Andrew Filippone gave us yesterday about the Commanders' first quarter success versus the Steelers' first quarter woes could ultimately be the deciding factor in this game. Could, I'm not saying will, could be the deciding factor in this game. I mean, the Commanders have been one of the best first quarter teams, especially recently. They've come out in so many of these games and just bop, 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 go, 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 score, get up on teams. We saw them put away Carolina early. We saw them match teams like Baltimore, whereas it, you know, that game got away a little bit in the second half, and then Washington was able to pull back in. But by and large, this has been a team that has played really well early on in games. And they haven't been as solid in the fourth quarter, which means, you know, unfortunately, the full 60 minutes is probably going to be a sweat fest. But this is a Pittsburgh offense that is not really built to come back from behind. And so I am pretty curious to see what Washington does if they get up early and if they can hold a lead. Like, if you can get up even 10 points, how does Pittsburgh's offense change? And can Washington, especially if you're just joining us, breaking news, Brian Robinson out for Sunday. If Brian Robinson is unavailable to help make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, nah, I think starting fast is definitely huge, but Craig, we've seen in the NFL time and time again how hard it is to hold a lead. We saw the Vikings come back on the Colts, down 28. We've seen, you know, in a Super Bowl, we've seen the Patriots come back on the Falcons. So it is extremely hard.
Man, you really, some personal shots there. One to your own self, and two to DQ. Dang.
I was just saying, I mean, that was the first.
It's Friday, man.
Those are the first two that came to mind. Easy for everybody to remember.
That is true.
But it is insanely hard to hold leads. Even yesterday, if you look at the Thursday night football game, the Bengals go up 21-7, and guess what? The Ravens come back and take the lead. So I think starting fast is important in every game. It's just, you know, it's so hard to sustain the success and carry it throughout a game, especially against as good of a defense as the Pittsburgh Steelers that we're going to be facing on Sunday. But I love the key. I love us being able to, you know, try to start fast.
Yeah, and that's always, you know, we kind of joke that we're the, you know, between this show and Take Command, like we're the game flow show. We talk about it all the time, but the style of play is really, really important. If you want to think of it as that way as opposed to, you know, game flow, style of play, it's really, really critical into what Washington wants to do, and it's really critical for every team. And so these teams are built to play a certain way. And for Pittsburgh, this is a team that is built on their defense. They are 100% built to lean into that. The way they call plays, the way their personnel is, the way that their offense is designed, the way that their defense, by the way, is designed, is to play with a lead or in a close game. But to be behind where, you know, oh my God, this team's just going to run right at us. Well, okay. Well, now TJ Watt's best attribute. Like, look, he's fantastic against the run. I am by no means suggesting that, hey, cakewalk running on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously not. We just shared some of the run statistics in the last segment that they are the second best EPA per rush team in the NFL. And on down the list of really impressive run statistics because they've been good. And that's playing a lot of close games where teams are still able to run the football on them. So are willing to try to run the football on them. It's not like they're winning in a bunch of blowouts, even if there are a couple in the last 3 weeks, the Jets game. But even that Jets game, like, that wasn't a blowout till late. The Jets into the third, if not fourth quarter, were in that game. Mm-hmm. They all blur together, but the Raiders, you know, okay, fine. Giants last week were in the game the entire time until their running back got knocked out of the game in Tyrone Tracy. So Pittsburgh would definitely, the best thing about their team, the most dangerous thing, is they'll turn you over if you put the ball in the air, whether it's sack fumbles, they've got guys who will pick you off, all that kind of stuff. And so for Washington to get ahead seems extra critical, but we'll see. What is your key to the game?
So since you went offense, I'm going to go defense. I think a huge key, I think it's the most obvious one, stopping T.J. Watt. And the thing is, we've seen Cliff Kingsbury be able to scheme around some of the better, you know, defensive linemen in the league. We have the reigning NFL defensive MVP in Myles Garrett, who walked away from that game with no QB hits, no tackles, which is insane. Like, he didn't affect the game at all. And then also last week against Dexter Lawrence, well, he didn't have any QB hits and no sacks. So I'm not worried about whether or not TJ will be able to impact the game, because I have the utmost confidence in Cliff to be able to scheme around it. I will say, though, with no B-Rob, how does that necessarily impact the offense as a whole, just because he's been able to help us, you know, be in third and short or third and manageable, as opposed to like when we didn't have him, where we faced a lot of third and long, and it wasn't like it was when we first started the season. So I'm also just looking at the offense as a whole without B-Rob.
Yeah, I think that that's always going to be huge. And then the other thing, too, is like they've been able to go to the well again for Terry so often this season. How many big catches does he have? And, you know, we talk about players, not plays, or Cliff talks about players, not plays. And then I go, hey, did you hear Cliff talk about players, not plays? It's almost like every offensive coordinator in the league should think about that. It's third down, and, oh, that guy just wasn't the primary read on that play, and we like that concept. I don't know. Make him the primary read. Anyway, sorry. Small bit of rage that just came out of me on a Friday. That becomes a lot harder this week, because Joey Porter Jr. is a really, really good man-to-man corner. And not that I don't think Terry can get him, because I think Terry can get basically anybody. He's that good. But it's definitely not as sure of a bet. And there is a little bit of an elevated risk, because he's got good ball skills. He's got great length. You know, if Terry can get him on a double move or attack him with a stem, and, you know, that's something that Terry did on one of his big plays last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember at this point. Again, the games are all starting to run together. This was easier to do the analysis when there was like three games that have been played. Now, all of a sudden, Anthony, it's week 10. When did that happen? But Terry can get behind just about anybody. And those comebacks and things like that are areas where they've lived well. But I do think that, you know, without B-Rob, that hurts your play action game a little bit. But Jaden is a runner, I think, could be a huge, huge, huge factor in this game. And I think that, like, Noah Brown and Luke and OZ and Diami, I think they could have a big role too. And maybe this is a little bit of a preview of the pick six, but I think that either Diami as a guy catching some screens could have a big day. I also think, like, I'm gonna highlight something that Mark Bullock has said, because he's right. I just saw Mark say it first on the internet, so he's gonna get the credit. Mark, of course, breaking down the tape on Substack, and used to work for the Post and the Athletic, for those that don't know. But he's like, there's gonna be a game where we look up and Luke McCaffrey has six catches for 112 yards and two touchdowns, and people are gonna be like, where the hell did that come from? Dude's open all the time. And he's often not the primary read because he's Luke McCaffrey, but he does a good job. He runs his routes well, and Jaden is just getting the ball other places, or there's been a couple where he has looked at him, and there's Montez Sweat with just enough pressure to cause an overthrow where Luke is wide open for a touchdown. One of these days, the Luke McCaffrey game is going to happen. And so if they can get one of those, like, okay, one of the guys you rely on isn't there. Another guy you rely on has one of his toughest matchups of the season. Can the others, to borrow from Shaq, can the others step up? But can the others step up? I think it's a obviously huge question that'll help determine success in this game.
Yeah, the others definitely huge. And I was also just thinking about Zach Ertz, him possibly being covered by Minka, who is just an all-world safety. I don't necessarily know if that'll be his matchup, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they are matched up, just because that is Jaden Daniels' security blanket. Like, he loves to go to Zach Ertz across the middle and sometimes even on some shallow routes. So I think that's going to be pivotal. But we won't have to sustain drives. And I don't know how necessarily aggressive we're going to be against this team just because of the game flow, but I think we're going to have to be aggressive. We can't necessarily, you know, just settle for field goals. And that's also another thing, the field goal situation.
Fun fact, I got to talk to Brooke Pryor about our guest at 5 o'clock about kicking because she wrote a big article a couple weeks ago on the kicking game on ESPN. And as I was preparing to have Brooke on today, I stumbled across it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But we're going to talk to Brooke about that a little bit. But yeah, Seibert kicked today. He's been banged up a little bit this week. But they worked out other kickers. And if they don't sign someone tomorrow or have someone on the practice squad, I think he's probably good to go. But definitely something to keep an eye on for on Sunday. How aggressive are they on fourth down? Like there's all the game management stuff that's pretty interesting as well. Okay, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we are going to let you hear Logan Paulson's take on how the Commanders defense can attack a very, very interesting and are they good? I don't know. Pittsburgh offense. A little take command for you on a Friday next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.